reading from the 6th canto, 12th chapter, Britrasura's glorious death, text 35. Britrasha dehan nishkrantam atma jyotir arindama pashyatang sarvadevanam lokam samapaddatah. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O King Parikshit, subduer of enemies, the living spark then came forth from Britrasura's body and returned home back to Godhead. While all the demigods looked on, he entered the transcendental world to become an associate of Lord Shankarshan. Please repeat after me. O King Parikshit,
O King Parikshit,
subduer of enemies,
subduer of enemies,
the living spark then came forth from Britrasura's body,
the living spark came forth from Britrasura's body,
and returned home back to Godhead.
And returned home back to Godhead.
While all the demigods looked on, he entered the transcendental world to become an associate of Lord Shankarshan. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that Indra, not Britrasura, was actually killed. He says that when Britrasura swallowed King Indra and his carrier, the elephant, he thought, "Now I have killed Indra, and therefore there is no more need of fighting. Now let me return home back to Godhead." Thus he stopped all his bodily activities and became situated in trance. Taking advantage of the silence of Britrasura's body, Indra pierced the demon's abdomen, and because of Britrasura's trance, Indra was able to come out. Now Britrasura was in yoga samadhi, and therefore although King Indra wanted to cut his throat, the demon's neck was so stiff that Indra's thunderbolt took 360 days to cut it to pieces. Actually, it was the body left by Britrasura that was cut to pieces by Indra. Britrasura himself was not killed. In his original consciousness, Britrasura returned home, back to Godhead, to become an associate of Lord Shankarshan. Here the word alokam means the transcendental world, Vaikuntha Lokam, where Sankarsana eternally resides. O King Parikshit, subduer of enemies, the living spark then came forth from Britrasura's body and returned home back to Godhead. While all the demigods looked on, he entered the transcendental world to become an associate of Lord Shankarshan. So, did you all read Britrasura's episode, Britrasura's story? Who didn't? Why not? What's happening?
It's outside. Should I close the window?
Yeah, make it a point to read it. Make it a point to read the Bhagavatam. Okay. Yeah, continue to read it. And you can just read through, like in the morning, say for 1 hour you keep aside. And I don't think there will be many other devotees, but at least two of you can sit together and read through. Maybe one verse you can read, or rather one verse Priyavrata can read, one verse you can read, and this way you can alternate. And this way, just you read, and then if you have questions, you have discussion. Like the householders, those who are not living in the temple, if they are not regularly attending the classes, this is what they should do. Where is Suhasini? And in the mornings, don't go out for morning walks like that. And when you are with your spiritual master, your husband-wife relationship is secondary. When you are with spiritual master, everything should be centered around the spiritual master. Then you are not husband-wife. Then you are two disciples of your spiritual master. And that understanding, actually, that's the thing, you know, like there's so much need of, you know, introduction of Vedic culture in ISKCON. Like, I'll give you an example, like how in India people have this awareness. Once I was traveling in a Sankirtan party, and we had a hired driver. We had a van, we had a bus, and we had a driver. The driver was actually a paid devotee. I mean, paid person. And during that time that I was traveling for about a month, he became like a devotee. And on the way back to Mayapur, he requested me to stay in their house. Just stop in their house for one day. It was on the way. And so I stopped in their house. Obviously, you know, like a driver in India is very poor, you know, like they are not at all rich. A driver in India gets just a few hundred rupees. But that man, like, he was so, you know, like he became so spiritually inclined that he invited all the devotees to stay in their house. It was a small house actually. And then, like, they have only two rooms, and he gave me one room, and the other room was for them, his wife and his one child, I think. And, you know, like, when and devotees were just crashing out everywhere. So I asked him where he was going to sleep. So he said he will sleep somewhere. So I said, no, you can sleep in your room. And he just said, how can I sleep in my room with my wife when you are in my house? So that is Vedic culture. You have to understand that the attraction for the opposite sex is the biggest detriment to spiritual advancement. One doesn't get married, a devotee doesn't get married to have a license to have endless relationship with his wife. But it is actually a way to cross the hurdle. That is the spiritual life is meant for. Devotee should never think that he is getting married just to enjoy his wife. No, that is not the devotee's understanding. And if one has that understanding, he'll never be able to go back to Godhead. In order to go back to Godhead, the last hurdle that you have to cross, you know what is the last impediment? What's the last hurdle? Parayam? The last hurdle that one has to cross is that sex desire. As long as one has sex desire, one can't go back to God. He'll have to come back again and again and again. And every other things come from that point. As you were saying, well, becoming a guru and etc., etc., these are all secondary. The lord over, the desire to lord over the material nature is secondary. All are related to that one point, sex desire. Therefore, in the Vedas, this material nature has been compared to Maithunagara, a prison house of sex desire. In the prison house, people are tied up with a chain. Now, what's the chain that living entities are tied up to the material nature? What's the chain?
Sex desire.
the chain of sex desire. So as long as one tied up to that sex desire, he can't get out of the material nature. So always remember that point very, very carefully. And this attraction for the material, for the opposite sex, is what material bondage is. A man thinks, oh, this woman is so beautiful. And that means what? He is in Maya. And a woman thinks, oh, this man is so rich, so powerful, so he'll give me protection. That's Maya. I can depend. If a woman thinks that anyone else but Krishna can give her protection, or if there's anyone else is as the object of her love, then that is Maya. And when a man thinks that anyone else but Krishna is the object of his love, then that is Maya. There is no, the beauty in the material nature is only a reflection of Krishna. We have to understand it that way. To think that reflection of Krishna's beauty is for my enjoyment is Maya. And that must be overcome. And yesterday, another point I just remembered, like as I was answering Malati Manjari's question, that was Radharani's question, that why women are inferior according to the Vedic understanding. So in course of answering your question, I mentioned that actually in the normal condition, woman is inferior, because in man, by nature's arrangement, the spiritual side is more prominent. Whereas in a woman, the material side is more prominent. Life is a combination of matter and spirit. So when the spiritual side is, or spirit is more predominant, then it is a man. When the material side is more predominant, a woman. So, and I pointed out, in this age, actually the women are becoming more powerful and men are becoming weaker. So, in today's world, man shouldn't actually look down upon women thinking, oh, you know, she has less intelligence, or she has she's less in any way. Actually, in most cases, men are actually less. And men have become weak, even weaker than women in the age of Kali. If men were not weaker, then how come the women are dominating the nations? How many countries today are dominated by women? How many countries? Or in the recent past, how many countries have been dominated by women? Great Britain is one, Margaret Thatcher. India, Indira Gandhi, Ceylon, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Israel, and maybe there are others, I don't know. And gradually women are going to become more and more powerful. So if men were more powerful than women, then how come a woman becomes the leader of a nation? So that means the whole nation is under her control. So that shows the men have become weak. Men have become weaker than women. And when does a man become weak? A man becomes weak when he can't retain his semen. Because the semen is his vital energy, the spiritual energy. So man cannot be proud that, well, I am more powerful than a woman, provided if he is not a brahmachari. Unless a person is able to control his sex desire, he cannot be more powerful than a woman. By nature's arrangement, he may have a body which could have been more powerful, but in today's world it is not. That's why devotees have to become very, very, very strict in their vow of celibacy. It doesn't matter whether he's a brahmachari or a grihastha or a brahmaprastha or a sannyasi, everyone should be.
At least one should try. Now, if brahmacharis think, well, I mean, I'm wearing saffron, but it's just a matter of time to get a wife. If the grihasthas think, oh, now I have a wife, now I have the license. And so on and so forth, then we won't be able to effectively preach Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness will spread only when the devotees become very, very strong and powerful. And the strength comes, spiritual strength comes from brahmacharya. And in a way it is artificial in our society, like if we say it will become artificial for our society if we say that no, men will have the position and the women cannot, and we do not let the women come and take the leadership position, and the men are not strong enough, then how will this movement spread? So my request to all of you is become a very strong devotee. Strong devotee means develop your taste for Krishna consciousness. When you develop your taste for Krishna consciousness, then all the detrimental influences will disappear. You will be able to overcome all the detrimental influences. The detrimental influence of illicit sex life, detrimental influence of meat eating, the detrimental influence of intoxication and gambling. One breaks this principle because of his weakness in spiritual life. And what is the reward if one becomes a devotee? Like that has been very wonderfully pointed out in this verse. See, Vritrasura was a demon. That's another question. Who asked yesterday that how come how come the demons are worshipping Shankarsana, Anantashesha? Yes, the demons also can worship the Supreme Personality of God. The demons can be great devotees of the Lord, just as Vritrasura. And Vritrasura's becoming a demon was just an accidental thing. I mean, accidental thing is, in the sense, he was not actually a demon, he was a devotee to begin with. But he was cursed. He was cursed, and as a result of that, apparently he became a demon. But although he became a demon, you see, devotional attitude in the heart never goes away. When one becomes a devotee, no matter in whatever condition he may be in, at heart he always remains a devotee. And even apparently he may fall down and so on and so forth, but again when he comes to the platform of devotional service, then he begins from the point where he ended in his previous life. That's why another very important consideration is that once you take to spiritual life, don't ever slide down. Make it a point to go up and up and up. And falling down means breaking the regulative principle. Don't ever fall down once you have become a devotee. Before you become a devotee, doesn't matter if you are a demon or a lecture or a whatever you may have been. So before you become a devotee, it is alright. But after you become a devotee, it is something like, and allegorically the example will be like, whatever your condition may have been, right, wherever you are, doesn't matter, if you step into a lift to go to the top floor. So there's a very tall building, like the World Trade Center. The lift, although it's very high, building, but you step into the lift and you don't have to make any endeavor. The lift will take you up there, and that's what spiritual life is, devotional services. You step into a lift,
of devotional service, or rather you step into the step into the lift of ISKCON, and ISKCON will take you up there. But the condition of staying in ISKCON is follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds every day. That's the condition that Prabhupada made. If you want to stay in the lift, you must follow the four regulative principles. And you must stay, must chant 16 rounds. Now, you see, like, before you enter into the lift, you may sleep, you may do whatever may happen, it won't hurt you so much. Right. It may make you a little dirty, right, when you sleep or while coming. But once you get into the lift, and when the lift is taking you up, then what will happen if you slip out of the lift? What will happen, Haridas Thakur? Well, you won't be able to survive. So that's why it is so dangerous to fall down after becoming a devotee. So be very, very careful about your spiritual life. Treasure it as a very, very precious possession of yours, very precious gift of yours, given by Srila Prabhupada. And so, as I was telling, like, even a demon can become a devotee, as Vritrasura. And now we can see the Vritrasura became an enemy of Indra. He became an enemy of Indra. And apparently the demigods are good people and the demons are bad people. So by developing enmity against a good person, one becomes bad. So that's why Vritrasura is considered to be an asura. But we can see that in the ultimate issue, like, you see, sometimes people act according to the physical condition, according to the body's need. Like, he got the body of a demon, but his soul was the devotee. So he was acting according to the body as a demon, but in his heart he was a devotee. And that's why we see when he was fighting with Indra, he was not afraid of dying. And his mind was fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, Shankarshan. So that is the glory, that's the credit of Vritrasura, and that's the glory of a devotee. And now we can see that although the ultimate issue, Vritrasura was killed by Indra. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is pointing out that he was not killed by Indra. And that's a very, very important point. Now, apparently it may seem that Vritrasura died and then he went back to Godhead. But no, that was not the case. Because Krishna says that my devotee will not die. Mad bhaktana pranashyati. So that's what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is pointing out. He said that it was not that Vritrasura died, it was Indra who died. Because at one point Vritrasura just swallowed Indra up. In that battle, when he was at the last point, Vritrasura just, when his whole body was cut into pieces, his legs and hands were cut. Then Vritrasura with his mouth attacked Indra and devoured him. Not only just Indra, but along with his elephant. And at that time, Vritrasura thought that now I have killed Indra, so now I can go back to Godhead. So at that time, Vritrasura meditated upon Krishna and left his body. And in Vritrasura's body was in a kind of a trance. And at that time, Indra actually came out of the body by piercing his body with the thunderbolt. But then, when Indra tried to cut Vritrasura's neck with the thunderbolt, with the thunder, it took him 1 year. The thunder was actually going around. And that also has been explained here, that the thunder couldn't cut the body because his body, body was in a trance. And only when he completely withdrew his consciousness from the body, the thunderbolt could cut the neck. Now, how does a devotee become so powerful? A devotee becomes so powerful by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is only by Krishna's mercy that one can become so powerful, not otherwise. And Krishna gives the protection. Devotee doesn't care for his protection, but Krishna gives him the protection. So this is how glorious, or this is how wonderful it is to become a devotee. But mind you, to be a devotee doesn't mean just to have the kanti mala and put on the tilak, shave the head, or even get initiated. That's not the step, the ultimate consideration of devotee. What's the ultimate consideration of devotee? Priyavrata? What is the ultimate consideration of a devotee? The ultimate consideration of devotion is to develop one's love for Krishna. And from that point one will not fall down. One may follow the principles, but so many devotees have fallen down. They struggle, they followed, but you know, they were struggling to follow. For the time being they succeeded in following. But because they didn't develop the love for Krishna, they fell down. One can even get the taste of spiritual ecstasy in the Bhava platform, which is a very high platform actually. From Ashakti, from Nishtha comes Ashakti. From Ashakti or attachment comes taste, ruchi. From ruchi comes bhav, experiencing the spiritual emotion. But even from the bhava platform one can fall down. But only when one comes to the stage of prema, when one develops his love for Krishna, from that platform one doesn't. Therefore, the ultimate consideration of a devotee is to develop his love for Krishna. And how will it happen? How will the love for Krishna will develop? How does it develop? How does the love for Krishna develop?
By chanting.
Very good. And how does one chant offenselessly? Yes, sure. Yes. These are correct points, but what is the most important consideration? Did you ever consider how to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness? What is the most important consideration? To chant offenselessly, to develop the attachment to spirit, or to follow the instruction of spiritual master. These are all valid points. But before all these, there is one point. I will ask Radharani and then Malati. Yeah. Very good. That's also correct. Malati. Also a very good point. Shraddha and Vaidhi Bhakti. Sincerity. Very good. But the first thing, the most important thing is hearing. One thing is to hear from the sadhus attentively. The sadhus who are speaking from their realization, sadhus who have advanced themselves. That is, and the next thing is reading Prabhupada's books. Reading Prabhupada's books is hearing. Therefore, read Prabhupada's books very attentively. And you will see how the transcendental knowledge will be revealed in your heart. You will notice the weakness comes, spiritual weakness comes from lack of reading. Lack of reading, or rather not reading properly. And that's why time and time again I tell you all that read very, very scrutinizingly. Study proper scrutinizingly. Take notes. Try to remember what you read. Discuss about what you read. Like you all are together, this time could have been so nicely utilized, but you know, consider how you're actually wasting your time. Sleeping, gossiping, wasting your time in so many ways, but you know, you all are together, why don't you get together and discuss? Why don't you sit together, read? And that's another thing I'm noticing, you see, you all are God brothers and God sisters. But you know, there is no communication between you all. There's hardly any communication. There is no relationship. Different couples are just hanging on together as couples, and others are just hanging around. Where is no reciprocation? And so many things could have been done, like. Studying Srila Prabhupada's books together. Like often I remember the early days when I joined. Those days in Mayapur, there were many, many Western devotees actually. Practically most of the devotees were Western devotees, mostly American devotees. And so often we would sit together and study Krishna book or Nectar of Devotion even. Mainly we used to study, read Krishna book, sit together, and we used to wait till when the new book is going to come out. Devotees were waiting for Prabhupada's books to come out, and as soon as the new book would come out, like I remember, first the books would go to Bhavananda Maharaj and Jayapataka Maharaj, because they were the leaders of Mayapur, to Sannyasi. And then finally we would get access to the book. Just one copy would come. The 8th canto, I remember, came out. 9th canto came out at that time. And we would... we were so keen on studying Srila Prabhupada's book. Please take this opportunity read Srila Prabhupada's books either alone or when there is opportunity read together. And you know, all of you can take the lead. Don't think that, well, I'll do it only when somebody else organizes it. No. Whoever is, just get together and sit together and read. It's so nice. Is there any Krishna book here? See if there is a Krishna book. Did you ever read Krishna book together? How many of you did it? Raise your hand. When did you do it last? When did you do it last?
I used to read to the devotees in St. Louis, in London, that was about 3 years ago.
Yes. So were there? Here. When did you do it last? Radharani?
I did it for the devotees in France, and now I'm doing it for the little children in the school. I decided to put it in the children.
Malati?
It's more than half a year ago. It would be my ashram, my roommate.
Nice. Was it nice?
Yes, it's nice, but we're mostly so tired when we go together. It's not, the concentration is not so full as in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, the point is, like, if you have time, don't waste it. You know, take up the responsibility, because this movement needs, you know, sincere, dedicated devotees. There's such an acute shortage of leaders in our society. It's not that one becomes a leader only with big position. One actually becomes a leader when he makes advancement himself. Then whatever he does becomes exemplary. That's what a leader actually means. We shouldn't say, well, I mean, only when I get a big position, at least when I become a temple president, then I'll become a leader. No. We have to understand that everybody has the responsibility of becoming a leader. How does one become a leader? How does one become a leader? Clear, sir?
Good qualities.
By making spiritual advancement. And spiritual advancement also is not a stamp. That somebody gives us a stamp, okay, now you are advanced. No. The spiritual advancement is the cleansing of the spirit. The more the spirit soul becomes cleansed, more advanced it becomes. Okay. I already spoke to him about that. So I pointed out to him that Ravan was not a servant of Shiva. Ravan was not a devotee of Shiva. So that's a misconception. And he actually asked because somebody else asked him and he couldn't answer the question. Some Indian asked, that Ravan is a devotee. If I follow Ravan, then I'm also a devotee. But I pointed out, no, Ravan was not a devotee. Because these demons, they may worship Shiva, but they are not devotees of Shiva. You see, they are businessmen. They try to please Shiva to get some benefit. They are not devotees of Shiva. When did you tell him? Because I spoke to him last time I was there. When we were in, I think it was Raju's house. We were in Raju's house, so we were taking lunch outside on the lawn, and then I got on his case. Anyway, if he said that, it's very, very bad. Anyway, he's coming to Italy, so we can speak to him. Okay. But no one should ever say that I don't agree with Prabhupada. If he doesn't agree with Prabhupada, then let him go out of his country.
And he said that he started these two people, and that's why I really stepped in and I put a stop.
talked to the Guru Maharaj, you don't talk about it, therefore, I could have spoken to the Guru Maharaj about this, I said, because if you don't, I will. And then he said, no, because I can agree. He said, because that means we are servants of even Jab and Hiranyakashipu. So I said, but they are not devotees. I said, they are opportunists. They prayed for ulterior motives. They wanted some power gain. And I said, I needed to know for you, for myself, so that I know when I come across the situation again, how to handle it.
And not only he is not agreeing with Prabhupada, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. That means he is not agreeing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nonsense.
I was also very surprised because we had Mr. Bhattacharya and we had a program in the house and we discovered that their daughter told us that they were still consuming fish and they didn't tell us this. So when we went there, we told them we would make the prasad, because the program was already arranged, so we will prepare the prasad and fish. And his wife was a bit disturbed. She said, you know, it's not our culture when somebody comes to the house and you don't bring your own, by your staff cook for the person. So I said, Mataji, this is our standard, you know. I said, we cannot compromise on our principles. I said, if you want to cook for the devotees, become a vegetarian, and by all means you can cook. So we told everybody that the buckets with the pasta should not go in the kitchen. All the utensils, everything, let it remain in the bucket. Nothing should be contaminated. We explained to the people at the service. And Radha Madhav told me about this. So when Mr. Bhattacharya invited him to come and eat at his house, he accepted. So I asked him about this. He said, what are you doing? And I said, because we don't eat if anyone's sick. Because they asked us, and he said, no, we're trying to educate them. And are you going to say yes and then contradict what we're saying? And he said, no, I don't want to hurt them, you know, I want to try and encourage them and put them on to you. So I said, but you can't compromise on the principles, you have to gently and kindly tell them, go and visit them, but don't compromise on the principles, because then they will take whatever teaching we are giving lightly. And then Ramadhatra will also say yes, that we were going to eat there. And then I spoke to him about it as well. I said, are you aware? And he says, yes, I'm aware because Kriya was told me about it. I said, then why did you accept the invitation? He says, no, no, it didn't seem like I accepted the invitation. I said, when I heard you speaking to them, it came across as if, yes, you do accept the invitation, but you will come back to them. I said, please don't do this. You're trying hard to cultivate and to educate and undermine whatever we are trying to achieve. So was I right? Because they're both my seniors, and you were to do the right thing?
Yes, it is right. But let Priyavrata do the talking. Because otherwise what will happen, you know, like, you know, ISKCON's general feeling is, you know, like if a woman becomes too forward, you know, like they take it otherwise. So let, you know, you can tell Priyavrata, and through the via medium of Priyavrata you can make the presentation. And and if there is any problem with my disciples, then you can let me know. I can, like, for example, Radha Madhav, you know, like if I knew, I would have asked him about this also. How serious are they?
Well, no, not really serious, but his wife is a quite nice person. He's a little bit disturbed because of he wants to pick up in Great Britain and go to Calcutta. He's unable to sell his property and so he's going through some difficult period. But he's quite sincere. He himself said, I would like to read Chaitanya Charitamrita, so I acquired your demonic reading. So I'm working slowly on the margin. He's coming every Friday for a program, he and his wife.
Well, he's sincere in that way, but...
But he needs a bit of association of some devotees. He hasn't got any. So in that case, you know, we are trying, you know, to associate him, invite him for a Friday program, and he, you know, is coming every Friday.
Yeah, it's difficult for Bengalis, you know, like, because no one is, no, most of the Bengalis are not involved. They are not into Krishna consciousness. Like the Gujaratis, you know, like they have their community, you know, the whole community practically involved, you know. So it becomes easier for them. But I was thinking, like, yeah, and then there's all these bad habits of taking fish. And even if the husband wife gives up, you know, the children can't, and so unfortunate, you know. Like. Anyway, yes.
There are disciples that are breaking the regular principles. They're not like chanting 16 rounds, and that will they cause suffering to aspersion and stuff, like illness?
Yes, Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada said that at the time of initiation, the spiritual master takes the karma of the disciple. But it's even worse when, after being initiated, disciples commit sinful activities. And we're seeing so many things that are happening to spiritual masters. Hare Krishna Maharaj has become so sick. There was an attack on Jayapataka Maharaj's life. Then Bhakti Bhushan Maharaj, a very young sannyasi, very nice, healthy sannyasi, all of a sudden he developed a disease that causing him terrible pain. Niranjan Maharaj also suffering so much. Therefore, Guru should actually accept the disciples on behalf of Krishna and should accept everything for Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Must be used in Krishna service. It will gradually happen. It's happening in Vrindavan in a way, you know, through those seminars. See, one problem is that no one has the time. I mean, now one thing is happening is the, you know, management courses. So, you know, managers are being trained up, you know. Because there was a time when the managers didn't have any time. Like, there was a time, say, 4 or 5 years ago, if you are told that can you go and, you know, take a management course for 1 year, it was like no one would have had the time. But now things are becoming more and more stable, and then also in Vrindavan we had this Vaishnava etiquette courses. They were actually very well attended, and devotees still talk about that. Those who took those courses
But since then, you know, like due to my management involvement, I couldn't just go to Vrindavan for a month and be like, oh. But gradually I will do that. Either in Vrindavan or in Mayapur, I would like to do that. You know, like organize courses like that. I'm thinking of a school somewhere else also, where, you know, devotees can come for at least, you know, grown-up devotees come. The school will of course be a school, but at the same time you can have a school for grown-up devotees. Giving courses on etiquette, Vedic culture. Actually, etiquette means Vedic culture. And it's not actually, although you cannot really do this, give the whole understanding in 1 month, but at least something is better than nothing. And it's nice to have that exposure to the Vedic culture. And it is unfortunate that, you know, ISKCON is actually drifting away from Vedic culture since Prabhupada's time. Like sometimes it happens, like I noticed, the husband sees a sannyasi. The husband and wife are together. The husband sees a sannyasi, and they see the sannyasi. The husband offers obeisances to the sannyasi, but the wife doesn't. You know, shamelessly stands there. And these are simple things, you know. Like actually, in the Vedic culture, the husband should be the example, and the wife should follow. And people are becoming so arrogant. Like I think, who was telling the other day about Sri Murthy? He went to England and asked, how did you find England after so many years? And you asked.
And in time of Bhagwan, atmosphere was so extended, you know, devotees were very personal, you know, and respect, and the behavior of the devotee was such a miracle. But when you go now, the manner is completely different place of it. There's too much freedom, and there's no relation, there's no respect, you know. And actually, even the congregation are beginning to notice that, because they become more religious. And they also feel that, you know, the atmosphere is not the same what it used to be years ago. And you say that, you know, the drifting away from our many principles, and it's reflecting on the outside people as well, which is very sad.
Anyway, you can't change the manner, but at least you can change yourself. You become a nice example. Be respectful to the senior devotees. Because spiritual life means being respectful. Losing respect on seniors, you can never make spiritual advance. And ultimately what will happen, they'll drift away. I can tell you what's ultimately going to happen. Those who are not really practicing Krishna consciousness properly, those who are not really, you know, softening their hearts through the process of Krishna consciousness, instead whose hearts are becoming harder and harder, ultimately they'll move away from Krishna consciousness. By Krishna's arrangement, they won't be able to stay in Krishna consciousness. But then what will happen, as it is happening in many places, like these people, those who don't want to follow the process of Krishna consciousness, they are living outside and they are criticizing. You know, they are the ones, those who are actually bringing in this bad vibration. or the bad attitude. And, you know, junior devotees are becoming affected by that. But gradually ISKCON will become strong. And a time will come when the temple will say, like, we don't want to have anything to do with you, all guys. You follow the standard or get out of here. And gradually ISKCON will come to that standard. And this movement is not meant for nonsense. This movement is meant for serious people, those who want to spread, those who want to become devotees of Krishna and want to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And it will happen. Gradually the situation will change. And you see, like, those who are not making spiritual advancement, they'll become dry. And then they won't feel like staying in Krishna consciousness. They'll go out. They'll live out. They'll do their nonsense. But initially what they'll do, that in spite of doing their nonsense, they'll demand that, I'm a devotee. Why aren't you respecting me? I'm so advanced. And so and so. But for the time being, because the society is not strong enough, you know, like, we are going through some difficulties. You know, the devotees can't, management can't take a very strong stand against them. But gradually a time will come, the management will take a stand, put their foot down and say, look, I mean, if you want to criticize the management, if you don't want to develop or show respect to the senior, if you don't want to become devotees, then this is not the place for you. Don't vitiate the atmosphere. We have to keep the atmosphere clean, and therefore we can't allow dirt like you to live. And sooner it happens, is better. Well, I mean, he'll have to follow the process. He'll have to follow the process. You can't expect that I'll continue to remain dirty and at the same time I'll pretend that I'm clean. Krishna consciousness means cleanliness of the spirit soul. So how can it, on one hand it can be dirty and at the same time be Krishna conscious? Who said that? Was that the main offer of business?
Like, let's say we're walking into a temple or something, and all the men meet and it's the same basis, and you don't join them in the same basis.
I don't see why not. Especially, you know, when you see a senior,
Okay, thank you all very much. Please become very good devotees. See, you have accepted me as your spiritual master, and I have some responsibilities towards you, and the responsibility is to help you in your spiritual life. Otherwise, if the spiritual master gives initiation but doesn't take care of the spiritual advancement of the disciple, then the spiritual master will have difficulties in spiritual life. Because he is, on behalf of Krishna, he has taken some responsibility, and he is not fulfilling that responsibility. That's why the spiritual master must chastise, and the disciple must be prepared to accept the chastisement. I'm sure you all accepted initiation with certain objective. Why did you take initiation? Why did you take initiation? What about you, Sachidula? Yeah, but why do you take initiation from a specific spiritual master? At least I can help you in your spiritual life. But you have to accept the teaching. How does that work? Okay, now first, why accept it a spiritual master at all? Priyavrata?
Yes, by the rules of Shastra, one has to have a guru if at all wants to go back home. So, by his ideas, I want to go back home. I need a guru.
Krishna Kripa?
Because I want to go back home and help others. Come with me. To you, my spiritual master, was due to your students. Because you are a very nice spiritual master.
Nice spiritual master means who never chastises, who sings some Hindi bhajans. That's the point I was trying to make. Like, I hope you didn't accept the spiritual master because of any material consideration. That he has an Indian body. So he'll be able to take me back to Godhead more better, easier than others. No, none of these shouldn't be the consideration. It is the spiritual master's business is to guide the disciple to Krishna's lotus feet. And you should be prepared to take his guidance. So please do these things, chant your rounds nicely in the morning, try to get up early, and take a bath. And in this respect, I'll tell you that, you know, I am not always a very good example. Or various, at least at this point in time. You see, sometimes when I get up early, I just want to get into my translation or chanting, finish my chant. First thing now, what I'm doing is finish my chanting and then get into my translation. And sometimes I don't take my bath.
because mainly for two reasons. One is, I feel that half an hour, you know, instead of giving that half an hour, you know, spending that very nice early hours taking a bath and taking care of my body, let me just get into translation. That's one reason. Another reason is that I have low blood pressure, and if I take bath very early in the morning, it kind of affects my body. So these are the two main reasons why I sometimes, not every day, but sometimes I take my bath a little late after the sun rises. But that shouldn't be the standard, because that's not ISKCON standard. And I'm just doing it for the time being. If I'm physically active, then it doesn't bother me. But if I'm doing mental work, then, you know, like sometimes I don't take the bath in the morning, as soon as I get up. Once my translation schedule is met, then I'll get back to my regular program, attending Mangala. That's another thing, like I'm not attending Mangala Arati now. But those who had been traveling with me, like Balaram, from early days, Priyavrata also, you saw that I never missed Mangala Arati. I always get up before 4 o'clock, and I'm always there for Mangala Arati. But only now for the translation, I'm not going to Mangala Arati. But once it's done, then I want to get back to that program, because I can see that how important it is to set the right example. Because the tendency becomes, like when the disciples see that the guru is not going, then the disciples also think that, well, there's no need to go. But that shouldn't be the case. Like Prabhupada made a very specific standard for his son. And at some point, yes, the gurus will become old, the gurus will have physical difficulties because of old age. They won't be able to do it, but that doesn't mean that all the disciples can do that. Like, you know, Prabhupada didn't sometimes, you know, like later on, I mean, Prabhupada didn't go to Mangala Arati. He was translating at that time. But Prabhupada, that doesn't mean that Prabhupada allowed everyone to stay in his room. Prabhupada's strict order was that everybody must go to Mangala Arati. And even if you are not staying in a temple or close to a temple, even if you can't go to the Mangala Arati in the temple, but make it a point to get up before 4 o'clock. And you will see what a big difference it makes. Those who are not getting up before 4 o'clock, I am seeing many of you are not actually getting up before 4 o'clock. And if it is happening when you are with your spiritual master, I can really imagine when you are at home. Obviously it's not happening. And you will notice, if you don't get up early in the morning and chant your rounds, you will start having spiritual difficulties. So if you really want to guard yourself, if you really want to protect yourself from this spiritual difficulties, get up before 4 o'clock. Make it a point to get up before 4 every day.
When one of the program comes, is that like,
well, you see, like that's another thing. Like, I don't understand, you know, why we have to stay up that late. Because the night hours are demoniac hours. You can't have proper effect of your preaching, you know, having late night program. I would rather suggest, you know, better to have early morning program. Like, it's happening, but I can tell you, like, during Prabhupada's times, it was not like that. Prabhupada would do some pandal program once in a while, but it wouldn't be so late programmed as such. But now it's becoming a standard everywhere. I personally don't like it. I myself don't like late programs. I myself don't like to go to bed late. I like to go to bed early, I like to go get up early. And I can see what the big difference it makes to me, and I'm sure it makes the same difference to you. Okay, but the thing is that we could wind up our program by 9:30, go to bed by 10 o'clock. Okay, 8:30 to 9:30 is good enough. Right. And you know, like they will, you know, it's a choice is, you know, whether we are going to adjust according to their schedule or we are going to make them adjust according to our schedule. And it's better that they do it according to our schedule. Why do you think I stopped going to the program? Going to a temple for program at one point in my life. Because, you know, I didn't want to adjust myself according to their schedule. You know, I have my schedule. If you want to adjust, do it otherwise. And it's happening, you know, like, we don't have to do the programs every day like that. Like, you know, see, they came here, you know, those who are sincere, they came here. And they spent 2-3 days, and I'm sure they made a lot of spiritual advancement by doing that. Then don't, instead of meeting 2-3 houses, going to 2-3 houses, why not go to 1 house? Just do, you know, concentrate your preaching and make it a point that, you know, by say 9:30 latest you're going to leave their home. Right? And then you come back. Otherwise what will happen, you know, as you were telling me that yesterday, the night hours are demoniac hours. You know, at that time, you know, like, even though you are giving them Krishna consciousness, it's not going to be effective. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't preach at night. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching during day. Like, none of our acharyas preached at night. Even Prabhupada, you know, hardly he spent, you know, time in somebody's house at night as such and have a late night. He would do his programs during day. He would go have lunch in different houses and give them his association. And he would hardly give any class as such in their houses. He would invite them to come to the temple. Let them, you know, be, you know, eager to receive it. Bring them to your programs, you know, like cultivate them, bring them to your program. And you know, like, instead of, you know, visiting so many houses, just make it a point that every evening you'll visit one person. Yeah.
And in the case in Barcelona and Sector, they were doing a Friday evening program for different reasons, because on Sunday afternoon they work on all the talks.
Anyway, one day a week, maybe it's okay. But, you know, not every day. Like, one day a week, you know, you have a point. Like, they, you know, Friday evening,
you know, they are free, and that's the best time. Sunday, you know, like you are going to Zurich, or Sunday is not the right, but preferably Sunday will be better. You know, I can tell you, like, try to imagine in your mind what makes look more Krishna conscious, a program during the day when the sun is up in the sky, or at night. What is more effective? You see, during the, also during the, in the morning hours, you know, your mind is so awake, and you know, like, it kind of, it takes that spiritual vibes also from the atmosphere. Everyone is asleep, the whole world, you know, is so peaceful at that time. Like, you just look out of the window now, you see how many people are on the road. Very few, and the whole atmosphere appears to be so peaceful. Now at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 1, 11 o'clock, you look out of the window, and how do you see what these people are doing? Yeah. Because at night, you know, they get into, you know, this passionate mood. Like, for example, at night, most of these people are thinking of alcohol and women. But do they think about that in the morning? That's a simple example. Do people think of sex life in the morning? Right?
No.
Do they think of going to a bar in the morning? Unless he is an alcoholic. Therefore, you know, try to go to bed by latest by 10 o'clock. Oh, I thought once a month you go to bed at 10 o'clock. He's not a taxi driver. He was driving a Sankirtan van. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Right, sure. Sure, you can do that. You take the tape and do the editing. Oh, that reminds me, Krishna Kripa, do you, in the shop, do you have 1 hour video cassettes? No. 2 hours. And how much are these 2 hour cassettes? In wholesale?
But brand in general?
Yeah.
Samsung is also good for some
quality. Okay, how much is Samsung?
300%, less than $3.
Less than $3. And how much is Japanese one?
Japanese Sony is almost
$4. You said £2?
$4.
£2 is not $4.
No, £2 is
$3. $3. Which make?
Japanese one.
Sony?
Not Sony, that means like Sony, some other
things. Samsung?
JVC, Sony mobile.
I see. I see. So, should I get 50 of those cassettes? And take them to England and get them copied.
Hmm.
50 will be one box. You can check it in. How much luggage do you have? Where? No, you're flying from Spain to England. There won't be any customs. And you can tell them that, you know, like you go. Why don't you do one thing? Take it in. How many does come in a box?
Ten
in one. Yeah, and take it in a kind of a cloth bag, or like two bags, 25 each. Because it will be a good time to at least, you know, give out about 50 of these videos. Preaching is the essence. Just give the background of what these videos are. What is the saying? I think it's classes, eh? Different classes. Just, you know, say in few words. Okay, so you can say parikram, you know, like what is there. You can just give a synopsis of that. And you can also give some credit to Malati Manjari that she did the editing. Who did the videoing of the videoing Balaram did for the Preaching is the Essence. Yeah. So you can say Balaram did the Preaching is the Essence and Krishnendu did the Mayapur Parikrama. Krishnendu Das. And then it was edited by Malati. She took the facility of German TV, German national TV, where she is working as an editor. As a what editor? As a story editor. And you can say that the cover design was done by you can say cover design was done by Priyabrata Das. Or we can edit it in such a way that exact 2 hours. Right. You can cover that, you know, with this. You can, if you have some video of my singing, then you can do that. Like if there is 10-15 minutes, you know, in the beginning or in the end, you know, you can just, you know, make it according to right length, you know, fill it up. Actually, I'm thinking of doing that. You know, like next time I do the parikrama, or you know, next time when you all come to Mayapur, right? Or the trip of India, I will, you know, do it real professionally. I'll have the
you know, I'll have the script already made before, and you know, like do it, you know, like in a real pakka sure. way. We can do that. Yeah, we'll do. It all depends upon how soon Maluti can get me the editing machine. Yeah.
Actually, we know Maluti, we have unlimited material.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I am thinking, you know, I can get, like, now that I am acquainted with the film industry in Calcutta, you know. I mean, these people are so nice, you know. Like, usually the feeling is that the film people are real nasty people. Actually, they are very nasty people, but somehow by Krishna's mercy, you know, they're quite nice to me. And, you know, I mean, we can take their help, you know. Like, we can hire professional cameramen. They don't cost very much, you know, for maybe 7 days of parikrama. We'll have a professional cameraman, you know. Like, right here, to him doing it. And the camera that we have is quite good, actually. That's the one that Harinanayan gave me last year. That's a Hi8. But somebody told me it's even better to get a professional Hi8. You know what it is? No, it's, I think, by... Anyway, I mean, I forgot. I think Panasonic makes a professional Hi8.
And Sony is super VH. Light
oh.
Hi8 is made by Sony.
Only Sony? No, but somebody told me, it's Nrisinghananda Prabhu told me. Like, he is shooting Prabhupada, the Hare Krishna 2, Hare Krishna people 2, in the world of Hare Krishna 2, by Sony. I mean, by this Hi8 professional. Not, he's not using Betacam. It's big cam, big size, yeah. So how much does it cost?
5,000 francs.
Swiss francs. And is by? By Sony. Now, what is the difference between Hi8, the one that we have, and that one?
The sound is digitalized and affects
the mic. The sound is no problem, you know.
Yeah, but
inside
the...
Oh, I see.
The lenses are strong. Also, it's stabilized because you
wouldn't
show
the gyroscope.
Can you get the details?
I know.
That's 5,000 francs new. That's not so bad, like, it's about $4,000. Anyway, let me see. Because this year I don't need it. You look out, like, if you get some, you know, good deal. The Betacam is too heavy, yeah? Like, it's too big.
Okay, normally you use offer, this recorder is quite big. They keep it on the shoulder, but not the whole time. The whole part comes to the shoulder.
We can get somebody to carry that. Anyway, we will see, because parikrama, they won't be shooting all the time. Like, while we're traveling, then, you know. Maybe we can use the Betacam, actually. But I need the editing facility. I want to have the editing facility ourselves, so that, you know, like, we can do the editing. Because otherwise, depending upon, you know, your facility is too much. And to pay for the facility will be too expensive. Okay, so what about the prasadam today?
shops and she went to the shop.
Krishna Kripa, when do you have to go to the shop?
Today I fast because I have to go to the doctor.
So then, I was thinking that Krishna Kripa probably have to take breakfast. But otherwise we can aim at, what do you want to do? Like, do you all want to take breakfast now and take lunch, or just take one? Early lunch? Okay. So, did you make the dough yesterday? No, I thought, you know, like there's chana, split chana, so we can make chana dal.
That's what I said, sambar. When I have sambar, I said, you know, it's chana dal. That was very nice, chana dal.
Chana dal, there's a way of doing chana dal. I can do, you boil it like yesterday, and I'll do the chana. Yeah, like yesterday what we did the tartar, as much water was there, that much. And one thing also, now, there's always something to learn. So when something has been cooked and chaunce has been given, don't add anything. Don't add any water to that. Because that ruins the taste completely. You see, the chaunce brings the taste. Now if you add water after that, that cuts the taste and the water will just stand out as water. So in dal or anything, don't add water after. Yeah. Because that way you see the salt in goes really deep into the thing, and it helps also to boil. If there's some baking soda, you can add some baking soda to that. So, do you think it will rise, the bhatura dough? You have 2 hours. Okay, but let it sit for 1 hour like that before, with the dahi. And you can, okay, do it like that. I was thinking otherwise you can put some baking soda in it. Some baking powder should go in.
I normally make from the self-raising flour. It was from a very nice flour.
And you're going to fry it in what? Oil or ghee? Oil, what? Yeah. Do it in oil because ghee will be too heavy. You know, just deep frying, you know, ghee will be too heavy. Ghee is nice. Or what does Subhadra say? Do we have so much ghee? How many are for ghee? Raise your hands.
If they are in front of me, they are all saying they want some oil.
Suhasini is the only one who didn't raise her hand. What about oil? Is it? What's your problem in the stomach?
Bad digestion.
Then maybe we can have something light for Suhasini.
I shouldn't choose.
Would you like some plain chapati? Do we have enough ghee? Oh, then there's no need. Can you buy ghee? From butter. That is doesn't take long. Okay, then get some butter and make it. You get about a kilo of butter, will that be alright? Or two? Won't be enough. How long will it take to do that? In low flame you have to do it. Okay, go get the ghee. Get it. And so you're making this, make just this chana dal. And is it possible to get lemon pickle here? No. Lemon pickle? And then I ask you. Oh, you brought them?
Yes.
Oh, good. I saw them in the kitchen.
But how both are difficult in the right spices? Can they be some garlic?
Does it taste fine? Does it
taste fine? Yes, fine.
I was going to write to Pastor, because the congregation made it, and we were offered some